Have a listen, guys.
Good morning, Social Security Administration. May I help you?
This is good stuff.
Hi there. Yeah, I'm trying to get a... I want to speak to somebody in the records department. I have a specific question about the Social Security Death Index.
You have a question about it?
Yes.
Okay, what's your question in regards to that?
I'm trying to find out information on specific records of what's the criteria. I'm doing some research and I'm trying to find out some specific information about how these records are handled and how they get into the index and that sort of thing.
Okay, what happens is when a person passes away, of course, their Social Security number is on their death certificate.
Okay.
When the report comes to Social Security, we either get it from a family member or we will get it from the funeral director or we will get it from the state that handles the death. Once we get that information, we record the date of death on our records, and that's how it gets into the index.
Oh, okay. So, like the individual, they don't necessarily, like a family member doesn't necessarily have to apply for benefits for the record to go in?
No, sir.
Oh, so the funeral director or like a medical examiner or something like that?
Yeah, anyone can call to report a death. You have some individuals that don't have family. You have some individuals that don't have funerals. They donate their bodies to science. Anyone can call to report a person has passed away. As long as they have the correct information to give us and collaborates with what we have, we'll record that information, and that's how it goes into the death index.
Okay. Yeah, my research, I'm trying to, I was looking into the events of September 11th of 2001 with the Trade Tower attacks and all that stuff. And I was going into the records, the Social Security Death Index records, and I don't see the people listed in there. Why would that not be? Hello?
If they should be listed, if they're deceased, no matter what was the cause of death, if they're deceased, their information should be in that death index. The only way it would not appear is if the death was never reported to Social Security.
Okay. Because, so that means I'm sorry?
So that means if a person was working at that facility on that day that it happened, and they didn't have any family, and let's say their bodies were never found or whatever the situation may be, they just are on a list of a name. If they had no one to alert Social Security that they passed away, then their information would not be updated with the death information.
Oh, okay. Well, let me tell you what I found. I searched like the averages, like for, you know, like a certain amount of people will, you know, be deceased on any day, right? And let's just say the state of New York. So I look up like, September 3rd of 2001, and it gives me a number of 1,079 people, and then I do another search for September 10th, like of 2001, the day before, and it gives me 1,184. But if you go to September 11th of 2001, it says 1,564. So that's not even a significant deviation from the average. You know what I mean? It's like, it's so according to these records, it's showing that like there was no substantial increase in deaths reported. You see what I'm getting at?
Right, I understand what you're saying, but remember, we can only go by what's reported to our agency.
Oh, so you think maybe that like 3,000 people died, but then like there wasn't enough of them that were reported to the agency to even
right.
show it?
Right, it is a possibility. Exactly, it is a possibility that it was not reported to the agency. So if it's not reported to the agency, we're not going to go out and seek information on deceased people. If it's not reported to us, then it's just not reported. There's nothing we do to go and seek that information. We don't look for that.
Okay, so then, like, out of all those people, like, there wasn't even, sort of, probably wasn't even a significant number of people that were even reported to have died then. They weren't reported to the Social Security Administration then. out of all those.
And then
people,
you have then you have to look at this. With the 911 situation, you had a lot of scams and a lot of fraud that was going on.
Yeah.
Now, if there was fraudulent situation or scams going on with people trying to say that family members passed away and they were trying to get reparation for that, then a lot of that information may be flagged where it's not going to show on a death index, because some death records, there is there are criteria where a person's death record is not available to the public. So if that's a situation where the death information is not available to the public, then they're not going to show up on our death index. That's available to the public. So it's not going to show that. There are some death records when a person passes away, we cannot disclose their death information at all.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, what is the criteria for that then?
That's something important. That's internal for our agency.
Oh, okay.
So there are different situations where the agency itself will put an alert on the record where we cannot disclose any death information from the record.
Yeah.
So that means if you were to call and say, I have Jane Doe's, and you give us a social security number, and you're just calling to validate that this person is deceased.
Yeah.
If this person has that alert on their record, we would tell you we cannot disclose any information from this record. So we couldn't tell you anything, whether the person is alive or deceased. We wouldn't be able to tell you anything. So I'm thinking that could be the situation with the 911 attack and the individuals that died from that, because there was a big... it was a lot of scams that were going on dealing with that. And if we just put their information publicly out there on the death record on, you know, where a person could obtain their social security number and things of that nature, we don't know how much fraud that person would commit, assuming that they were a relative of this individual.
Right, but I would think that would do the opposite, because the names are public already. Like, you can go to the CNN memorial,
but
and
the social security numbers the social security numbers aren't public.
No, the social security numbers are never public, though, as far as I know. Those never get published, do they?
Yeah, you can request social security information on a deceased person. Yes, sir.
But you can get somebody's social security, a deceased person's social security number, if it's in the records, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then, you know, that's not, it won't be available for fraud, because it's already in the death index, and then nobody could use it for fraud, right?
Yeah, in that situation, no, you're wrong.
Oh, really?
Because a lot of, yes, you have people that were claiming money was being given to certain family members or certain individuals for like an accident. It was an accident that occurred to these people, an accidental death claim. Let's say they sued and they tried to get reparation for the death of the loved one.
Mm-hmm.
They can use that information fraudulently to obtain funds off of a person that passed away during that situation, and it can be fraud. So if they come with all of the necessary information, people commit major fraud. Okay.
Right.
People will do anything to scam the government.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be why a lot of their information is not publicized. But yes, a person can take that death information to try to use it at a disadvantage and try to get money from it dealing with that particular situation.
Okay,
but if a person just passed away in a normal situation, and it's, you know, just a normal situation where a person passed away in the hospital or anything like that, then, of course, that information is searchable. There's no need to hide that information. And a lot of times people go on and check that, especially for family members and things of that nature. But something as tragic as the 9/11, a lot of that information is not just going to be readily available not this soon after that tragedy.
Well, that's what you just said. It kind of confuses me, because this is... I mean, I'm really confused now, because you're saying that, like, on the case where you have this number of people dying, you don't want to publish, you know, they don't want to go, we don't want to put them on record as being officially deceased. So according to the records,
I'm not saying we're not putting them on the record as being officially deceased.
Mm-hmm.
The record is just not public knowledge.
It's not public knowledge, so in other
words... But we're
words,
not the ones that determine official death. We don't do that. If a person's social security number, if a person passes away, the only thing social security does is stamp their social security number inactive because they're deceased. That's all we do.
Right, but then here's the thing I'm confused about, that if, you know, that's the case, and then so the Social Security Administration is not going to... put those individuals on the official record as having been deceased, then that seems like it would do the opposite. It would open that up to fraud, because at that point, you know, you have the names you know, if someone who wanted to perpetrate fraud could operate from there and say, well, I'm such and such, and you know, such and such actually passed away, but you know, you can walk around and use their identity and stuff like that because it's not in the official records as you being deceased. You see what I'm getting at?
Yeah, it's not the name that a person uses, it's the social security number. If we have in our records that social security number is inactive and a person that's using it fraudulently tries to use that social security number, they're going to get a red flag that this number is not valid or it's not an active number. So if you're the person committing fraud, how fast are you going to be to contact Social Security if you know you're committing fraud on that Social Security number?
Well, if it's not in the record, and then like you know, a bank or someone else wanted to you know, verify that Social Security number or something like that.
We are not going to verify for a bank or any other entity. When that bank puts that information into the system, they have a system that they go in that they can collaborate the information to see if anything shows or any fraud alerts or anything shows on a particular Social Security number. When they feed that information into their system and it collaborates, it's going to come up as invalid because it's not an active number, because that number is of a deceased person.
Right, because it's entered into the death index. Right, right.
No, we have internal records that you're not allowed to see.
Oh, maybe I should say that. But you know, when I go and look up this information, there's no Social Security numbers or anything like that published, and you know, you wouldn't expect there to be. So
right, it's just the name.
Yeah, it's just the name. So that doesn't. So what you're saying is these individuals are in the record. They're just not a matter of public search or anything like that. So
that's correct. It may be a situation where their information is being kept confidential.
So that their information is like their name. Now, why would their you're saying information, but what information is being kept? What information would be kept confidential except for the Social Security number? I don't understand. Because they're
okay,
last names is already a matter of
public record.
That's what I understand.
Alrighty, well, here's what you need to do. We have an office called Freedom of Information Act office, and if you want to contact them, you're more than welcome to contact them to try to see why this information is not public knowledge or not accessible through our website. But that's something you have to contact that office about. We don't handle Social Security numbers in that aspect through this 1-800 number. We deal with benefits.
Right, right. I'm just
give you detailed
really
information
confused,
on what situations
really
would render that.
I'm really confused.
What are you trying to obtain off of a death index?
No, I'm just saying, because you're saying that that you know, the Social Security would keep information from the public under certain circumstances, you know, as far as someone is deceased or not. But I can't for the life of me understand why that the Social Security Administration would not want to have that as a, let's say, you know, I died on 9/11. I'm Chris Kendall. I died on 9/11. And then somebody can go in there and say, yeah, Chris died on 9/11, and they could type my information into the Social Security Death Index, and then my name comes up, and then my just like all the information that comes up on their date of death, September 11, date of birth, blah, blah, blah. That information is already out there in other areas. It's in the newspaper. It's on the memorial site and all that stuff. So how does that protect or prevent anything by not putting that record in the death index? I don't understand that.
That's a good question, but I don't know the inside of the situation. There are some things that Social Security is just not going to put as public information.
Okay. You could you put me in contact with somebody who would know, like, real specifically, like, why that would be or anything like that?
Sure. What city and state are you calling from?
I'm calling from Lawton, Oklahoma.
I'm sure she's looking real hot.
Yeah, there was an article in different papers and all about this, you know, and there was a congresswoman that was allegedly looking into it. And so it's you know, people are asking questions about this, so I was trying
right.
to
right. Hold for just a moment. Let me transfer you over to another office.
All right. Thank you.
It's almost over, guys. A couple seconds. Yeah, he ends up just getting no connection on the other end. So, yeah.